Good morning, everybody.
It's really nice to see all your faces again. This morning, as a lot of you know, and not everybody will know, especially...
If somebody looks at the painting and you explain what it means and they don't get it, they go, ah, that's interesting. But you can see they don't care as stuff. Hey? I'm sure you will be able to relate to what I'm saying. But in any case, but anything artist like that, the artist wants you to. So if you make a movie and it's a comedy, you know, at the first presentation, you're going to be very nervous because you're going to watch the audience. Are they going to laugh or not? If they don't laugh, because now when I wrote this thing, I want the people to laugh because that's what's inside of me. To me, it's terribly funny. I'm going to make them laugh. And if they don't laugh, well, then you didn't accomplish what you did it. So you're a bad movie script writer. So you've got to do it all over again. Now, God is not a mad anything. He's perfect in everything. So now what does he do? He's the great, I almost said the great architect. But I know that's used in different secret society circles. But in fact, he is. You know, he's the great architect of the world. He created everything. He planned it. He's extremely creative. And I always say to people, you know, something that I figured out the other day. You know, to have such a creatively, incredibly creative God who leaves everything, as we sang, I think, the first song, leaves his whole creative being, come to earth and be a carpenter's son. For 30 years, he does a 9-to-5 job in a carpenter's shop. No wonder the scripture says he learned obedience through the things that he'd suffered. Imagine putting that great God into a box and for 30 years, you will be tinkering away at wood. You know, and not the creative kind of stuff that we have nowadays, just very basic furniture they had in those days. Nothing creative about it, you see. But in any case, that's just beside the point. But I'm just wanting you to see the great, incredibly creative God. Look at the variety of birdies he makes, you know. I mean, especially this time of year. Walk out in the morning, go for a long walk somewhere where there's flowers and just smell the different smells, you know. I mean, just get an idea of the creative God. So he's wanting to, and this is why he told parables, by the way, because he wants people to get an idea of what he's saying from stuff that they can understand. So he sends John the Baptist, and he comes as a preparation to Christ, right? And what was his big message in one word? Repent, right? That was his big message. So he comes and he basically looks, what does he look like? Does he look comfortable or uncomfortable? He looks uncomfortable, right? So God says, what did you go out to see? You see this uncomfortable man screaming repentance. Because you know what? This is what is on my heart. Repentance is needed for this generation. You have become completely, you have backslidden so badly. I haven't even bothered to talk to you for 400 years because it's pointless. I stopped with Malachi and Zechariah, and for 400 years, you heard nothing. Because you cannot, it's not going to help for me to talk to you. I'm waiting for the correct time, and then I'm sending John the Baptist to prepare your hearts to receive the Messiah. Okay? So he's preaching, he's sending a message through a picture, almost. Through a picture of John the Baptist, who's uncomfortable. He says, you've got to get off your comfort. You can't just go to the temple and bring your sacrifices and do the same thing you do every dear year for the last 400 years. But there's an empty ritual. There's nothing in it. You know? There's no connection with me. Here and there, there's a person who still worships me like Anna and Zechariah, who recognized Christ when he came, you know, and said, my eyes have seen. They've been waiting for the Messiah in the right attitude. But for the rest of Israel, it is a mess. So what is necessary? It's necessary to come and repent. So he's playing a dirge in that sense. And he says, come please and repent. But now they check him out, the Pharisees, this generation he's talking about, and they deliberately resist what God is doing. Because they can. So these children, they're like the children in the marketplace. And God is playing a dirge. He's sending John the Baptist. But they will not cry. I will not repent because I can resist. I'm in charge of my life. So I will resist. Because, hey, I'm in control here. I'm not giving any kind of... I don't have to cry. I don't have to repent. Why should I? And in any case... John the Baptist, he has a demon. So that Christ, that thing on the inside, that thing that is created in God's image, that knows the truth when you see it, like all the poor and the tax collectors and all the sinners and stuff, they responded. But these people didn't respond because they didn't want to. Because they didn't have to. You know, we're in control. We are intellectual. We will first suss things out, but we will not just respond to this. We're not going to be like the common people who just, like Kat, just jumps around like a mad thing here in the front. I mean, you know, I've got a little bit more, you know. Now, I'm not saying you've got to now jump around. It's just a little metaphor, you see. But there's some people who worship God beautifully without lifting a hand. I saw it now with these beautiful Anglicans, you know. So they just have never learned to come free. Like Billy Allen said, it just really does help when one comes free. It's like it opens one up more to God, you know. So it doesn't make your worship more or less sincere. It just helps you actually to receive more from God. But in any case, that's another point for another day. But so now also in the same, just show the next scripture. So it says, I played you a dirge basically through John the Baptist. You wouldn't cry. And through Jesus, the Son of Man came. I sent you the Son of Man. And you know what? He's not like John the Baptist. He actually wears nice clothes, in fact. And he eats and drinks whatever he likes. In fact, he freaked out the Pharisees so much because sometimes he didn't even wash his hands properly before he ate, you know. And Draghi even turns water into wine, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Comes eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard. You see, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So you make your little judgment, you decide, I'm not going to respond to him. So that's exactly what he's using. So Jesus is coming, he's playing the flute, he's coming with good news. The good news, gospel means good news, by the way. He's playing his flute, but they're going to check him out first. Oh, we are clever, you know, we're going to first check what spirit he is of. And he's clearly not of the Spirit of God, because then he wouldn't mix with these plebs. He won't mix with the poor. He won't mix with the tax collectors. He won't mix with those women who just come and, I mean, a woman who lets her hair down in the first place and then comes and washes your feet. I mean, she's coming onto him, please, and he's putting up with it. Can't he see what she's about? You know, they can't see because they're blinded. They're blinded and they will not see. There are none so deaf as those who will not hear. None so blind as those who will not see. See, but now listen to us, people, because now it sounds to you like I'm preaching to unbelievers here. I'm not preaching to unbelievers, I'm preaching to believers. Because often we like that. We resist the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us and we hear, but we don't drop everything and follow. Like Aini did with the kids. God, this is impossible. I don't know where to start. And then she gets some friends from Stellenbosch to help her to pray and say, what can I do about these farm folk? You know? And then she just starts with what she has in her hand. And then after 2 years, this thing is flourishing. The same with the teacher. You know, the Holy Spirit is saying something to him, but he's not ignoring it. He's not going, well, there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm just a little teacher, and so what? He immediately responds. He immediately responds. And God comes and blows the supernatural on the whole thing. He thinks, oh, what parents are ever going to pitch? My goodness, they come in their hordes every time there's more. There's such a need. He never even realized what a need. The first night, the dads are crying because he's putting his finger where God's finger is. He's not trying something. But he's not resisting the Holy Spirit. You see? And the Lord wants to accomplish so much through our lives. I mean, when you talk to this girl, Annie, on the farm, she's just so full of joy because of what she sees, of what the Lord is doing in her community. Now, you know, she could have sat and been a good mother, which she is, and that's the end of it. Or she could hear the flutter, hear the voice, the sound of the flute, saying, I want to bring joy into this community. I want to bring them out of there, you know. And I will show you how. Just start one step at a time. You're not going to get the whole blueprint. Just start where you're at and consult with a couple of people and go. Or we can just be all, you know, there's lots of very, very depressed Christians. Maybe there's some of us here. And we are depressed, let me tell you, mostly because we're not doing God's will. He's given us lots of grace, but we're sitting with it and we're doing nothing because we will not respond. You see, we will hear the dirge, but we will not respond to it. We will hear the flute, but we will not respond to it because we don't have to. Because God's not going to hit you over the head. He's very gentle in that way. He's not going to say, you either follow me or you stay. No, he's gentle, you know. He says to people, look, you must, I know that it's, just show the next scriptures. I must, might as well show you that. You know, some people who figured they will follow Jesus, but he helped them. He made them understand, look, it's not a matter of, it's not a comfortable life. Where's that scripture? It happened that they journeyed on the road. Someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus said to him, look, it's not a comfortable life. I want you to know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So if you want to follow me, if that's the life, it's not comfortable. You're not necessarily going to know the next step. Okay? You might one night sleep in a 5-star hotel, but the next night you might sleep without a blanket in the middle of the desert. So I'm just telling you, this is what it's like to follow me. You know, but accomplish the will of God, you will, if you follow me. And is it going to be exciting and life-changing? And are you going to be close to me? Yes, I can guarantee you all of that stuff. But if you're comfortable, if your comfort is more important to you than following me, then you know what? You will accomplish nothing. And you will be depressed. So you will stay. And you will not understand. I will tell you parables. I will tell you stuff. There will be the word and you won't be able to grasp it. You'll hear something from God, but you know, you won't exactly know what he's saying. So then you just, oh, please. Another one goes on. It says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom. There you go, the kingdom of God. You go and preach the kingdom of God. So what was the previous thing? Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to me, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, you know, God's got no sort of thing for sentimental ties. Now, I just want to do this and I must first get, you know, I'll get baptized. But, you know, what are my parents going to think? I'm first going to pray that they approve and all of that. Jesus, oh, please, you know, just don't even bother. You're going to be of those who will hear my word, but you won't understand. Because I reveal my word to those who are like this. And things happen in their lives. If you want something to happen in your life, you've got to follow me. It's not going to necessarily be comfortable. There's going to be challenges, etc. If you're scared of a challenge, well, then live in your nowhere land. Live and be, you know, be depressed. Really. So let's stand this morning. I know this is a terrible note to end off with. Be depressed. But that's exactly what the Lord doesn't want. He wants us to have life in abundance, you know. He wants us to absolutely know him. And then from that place, not because we feel that we must do something to impress, you know, to impress him with. Nothing like that. We've learned for a year long that that is not where God is coming from. He wants us to fill him with himself. But when we are filled with him, he wants us to respond to him. You see, so that we can have life in effect, actually in abundance on this world. And really come to the end. What would you like on your grave? What do you want God to write on your grave? You know, I just want God to write on my grave, good and faithful servant, over little you were faithful, over much I will appoint you. Just wanted to say, you're faithful in what I gave you. You know, that is my greatest reward. I don't even worry about the crowds and all of that stuff. If I could just in my lifetime accomplish what he's called me to accomplish. You know? And it comes with a price, people. You know, I mean, I can't backslide. Imagine I backslide, you know, just for a little bit. Just want to backslide a little bit. There's no chance for me to. If I backslide for a little bit, how many people are going to fall? You know, I can't have my marriage second rate. Then who's? Everybody's marriages are going to be second rate because you produce what you are. You know, I can't get slack with this. I can't get offended and leave the church. I said to someone in the joke the other day, the staff meeting, I said, you know, in my second life, I'm going to be a church member, but I'm going to get offended and I'm going to leave. Because I can't even imagine what it must be like to have that choice. You know, there's no choice. Once you join, I remember I was a young Christian and the Lord already prepared me for this. There was something that happened. I'm not going to go into it. But I got blamed for a terrible thing that happened. And it wasn't the truth. I was blamed by the leaders, in fact. And whenever I went to church after that, they looked at me like the cat dragged me in. So it was very hard for me to go to church because they had decided that I was this. I won't even say to you what they decided I was. And it wasn't the truth, and I couldn't prove it. And so, you know, I was a young Christian, and I remember standing on the way. I wouldn't even dream of not going to church. It wasn't even possible. I mean, my whole life when I got saved is filled with the Spirit. I just wanted to, I was everywhere, at every camp, at every prayer meeting, at every church meeting. Anything where church happened, I was there. Because I wanted to soak in everything. I was like a baby. It's just milk. Just give me milk, you know. And then this thing happened in the middle of my infancy, you know. And then this incredible judgment and this way that everybody looked at me in church, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I remember standing at the window one morning, and I just couldn't handle it. I said, God, and I was crying. I said, God, I can't stand this anymore. I don't want to go to church this morning. So he said to me, clearly, that was one of those clear things. You will go to church, and you will love those people. And I remember going, swallowing my tears. It was so clear. I could have gone and thrown my toys out of the cot. I'm only a baby Christian after all. You know, I may have my emotions. It was none of that. It was just the command. And I knew this was it. And I went. Because there's no space for that kind of rubbish in the kingdom of God and in the family of God. Where we sit nurturing our offenses. If you are busy with the things of God, you know what? There's no time to get offended. Because you're on a mission. On a mission with other people, and you're doing the will of God. But people who keep on getting offended with everybody else and with each other, etc., they are bored. You know, you can look at Willem and say, "Oh, wat het droe lewe." You know, can't he just smile? I'm not going to worship because Willem is not smiling. Why does he jump up and down, seeing that he's the worship leader? You know, he's got this long face, so I'm not going to worship. In any case, my favorite worship leader is Joe. If she stands there, then I'm going to worship. But she's in the corner there now today, so who cares? You know? Now, that's a stupid example, and I know none of you are thinking like that. That's why I'm using it as an example. But, you know, we can sometimes go off about the biggest load of rubbish because we're not busy doing what God has called us to do. You know? So I want to just this morning, and I always bring these sort of challenging messages, but this is just how the Lord has wired me, and that's just the way that He gives me these things. But it's also encouraging, you know, that when we, if you want to hear the Lord's voice clearly, who would like to hear the Lord's voice absolutely clearly so that you know exactly what is required in every situation? You don't even have to go and fast and pray for 3 weeks for you to know. You just know. Okay, you can put down your hands. Okay, I want to be like Moses. I want to hear His voice clearly. Clearly, I don't want dog saying. I don't want to sort of know. Well, I want to know His will. So now, let's close our eyes. And we know the Lord has spoken to individuals. I'm looking the other way. I don't want to look at you. That's none of my business. But for those of us who know there's a particular area that we are resisting the Holy Spirit, He's speaking to us. Maybe it's just to go and say sorry to somebody. Start with where He's showing you. You see, whatever it is that you know He's been speaking to you about, but you are umming and eyeing, shall I not? Drop that. And you know you're not dropping it. You know you're resisting. You like the kids in the marketplace. You resist it because you can. You see, and you're going to first pray about it. Now, just do it. If it's not going to harm anybody, just do it. Instead of, you know, we say we pray about it, but in the meantime, we're actually just bringing our own minds into it. And we're just stalling, really. It's fine to ask God, "God, give me your timing." That is not wrong. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to say I'm sorry, but show me how and show me when. That is fine to pray about. You know. But to resist the Holy Spirit is really something that the Lord says, this generation, us lot, we must drop that. Because He cannot go on with the church when we are resisting His Spirit. Because He's changed, he's making us into an army that's going to really, it's going to change. Look, Franschhoek is not going to look the same. If we all take our place, it's going to be a place where people want to come to. All these visitors, all these people from overseas who come here, they're going to meet God. Yeah, they won't even know. I said this before, and I know this is the truth. People will want to come to Franschhoek because they won't even know what they encountered here. But the presence of God will be in this place because the people of God have taken their place, and they're taking the kingdom by force. They're not casual about it. It's not just about us. Oh, how can the gospel benefit me? It is how can the gospel in me? How can I be like Jesus to bring the kingdom of God where I stay? So I want you to just, if you know you are resisting, don't be like those kids and think, "I'm not going to put up my hand. because I'm past that, you know. If you know that there's an area that you're resisting the Holy Spirit, put up your hand and say, God, forgive me. Just put up your hand and say, God, forgive me. Now I want you to do business with God right where you're standing. I'm giving you 2 minutes and tell him this thing. And it's not easy because some of the stuff that you know you've been resisting, it's not comfortable. Remember John the Baptist. You've got to come out of your comfort in what is nice to you and do what is right, because God wants to take you from this place further. And when you start getting obedient, you're going to start seeing things happening in your life and in the lives in your, all those old things that you keep on praying about, those problems are going to disappear because God's going to take care of them, because he says, seek my kingdom first and all those things I will look after. But you focus so hard on those little chutakis, you know, and he's given you the key. Seek my kingdom first. But now you want to use your own key. That key's not going to work. Your relationship is not going to come right. I'll tell you that now. None of that stuff is going to, and you're not going to find a wife your way. Keep on focusing on that. Focus on following. Listen to your leaders. Listen to the people around you. Often the Lord will speak to the people around you and you resist them. You resist them because you have a hotline to heaven. No. The Lord says, be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. If you think you've got such a hotline to heaven, why isn't anything happening in your life? Listen to the people around you. Listen to the leaders. Go and see somebody and ask them. Don't go and tell them what you think God is saying to you. Yes, you can tell them that, but you know, sometimes we hear wrong. We hear what we're wanting to hear because we're wanting to hear the comfortable thing. That it's going to happen like this and this and this. The counsel of many, wisdom will be found. Don't be so proud to think that your hotline is so hot that you don't need any input from anybody else. Don't resist the Spirit. He will speak to you. If you won't hear, he will speak to somebody who will speak to you. Don't resist that person then. Hear God, because then if you won't listen to him, I tell you, you will feel it in your circumstances. You will feel it in your circumstances, because then God's got to take out the light, because he's got to discipline you now. You've got to feel, because he loves you. He loves you. He's going to discipline you then. We don't want to go there. We want to stop long before the discipline comes. We just want to listen to his voice. Okay, so now, just do that business with God. I'm going to be quiet now for a while. If your hands are up, you can put it down again. So I can turn around again. To the thing that the Lord is showing you now. He wants to just bring this thing in the light this morning. Bring whatever it is in your heart, just bring it to the light.
Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just bring the lust in my heart before you, Lord God, and the selfish ambitions in my heart, Lord, and the desire to be to look really good and spiritual and humble before people, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you cleanse my heart from just the lust and selfishness, Father God, and my own will, Father. Lord, that you give me your will in Jesus' name, Lord, that I may be like Jesus, God.
Amen. Thanks.
Now, Lord, I want to ask you that I can trust you, Lord, that I will walk in your ways, Lord, instead of thinking that I can all do it myself. Please help me, dear Lord.
I want to take it a step further. Maybe there's somebody that needs to repent to somebody here. And you need to do it publicly. It's going to break something, not just with you, but in the church. It's very big. It's very big in the spiritual realm if you're going to be obedient. Okay? Just to say sorry for somebody here that you've maybe judged in your heart, that you've had aught against, or whatever. You know, sometimes it just takes one person to just come and stand in the gap. And then God will do a thing in a community. Is there anybody like that?
Apologize to you. I'd like to apologize to her. I'd like to apologize to everyone standing here. Father, I just pray your blessing on her, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus was.